Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello and welcome. From me, Ken Rundle and Chris Harold. He's product manager for Yara Vita across Britain and Ireland. But it's another of Chris's responsibilities we're focusing on this time, biostimulants. It's an area some view with skepticism, but which, as the science and evidence from around the world builds up, has the potential to be an important tool in helping boost the efficiency with which crops use any nutrients available. Would it be true to say, Chris, that biostimulants are being talked about more as our understanding of them grows and the range of chemical tools permitted shrinks?
Yes, that's right, Ken. I think as farmers look towards improving yields and quality of their crops, maximise the inputs that they're putting into those crops as well, I think biostimulants are becoming an integral part of farmers' approach to growing their crops. Certainly, we've seen a lot of investment in the area of biostimulants around the world over the last few years. And certainly, the larger R&D companies, such as ourselves, have certainly put more resource into developing and researching biostimulants.
I mean, we obviously a lot of evidence from around the world, but there's not that much evidence from UK soils. Is that right to say?
Yeah, I'd say it's improving all the time. You're right. I think initially biostimulants were seen to provide more consistent results, let's put it that way, in warmer climes, in other crops. But I think as time's gone by, we're building up the data now in broad acre crops, those that we might be more familiar with in our UK and Ireland markets. And I think that's a good thing. I think that that work is being done and building that data up. So it gives us confidence in the products that we're developing, but also gives customers and farmers confidence that they're going to deliver what we say they will.
I think it's true to say that issues like climate change and biodiversity loss have raised the importance of healthy soils amongst policymakers and agronomists. And it's in a healthy biodiverse soil that biostimulants seem to work best. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so. I think if you look at the genetic potential of crops, plant breeders do a lot of hard work and research into developing new varieties and improving the genetic potential of those broadacre crops. But when you look at sort of the average yields that we see, say in a European climate, then they do appear to have plateaued. And there is a gap between what the genetic potential of those crops is and what we seem to be achieving on average. And I think some of that can be put down to the issue around abiotic stresses. And by that, I mean things like water stress, temperature stress, light stress, issues like that we perhaps haven't focused on much in the past. And certainly that's where biostimulants seem to be having the biggest impact is improving a crop's ability to overcome some of those abiotic stresses.
And we certainly seem to be getting plenty of that at the moment with the way that the climate's changing. There are various kinds of biostimulants, aren't there?
Yes, that's right. I think the AHDB did some work on this a few years ago and categorised the different types of biostimulants. And in the simplest ways, we're looking at microbial biostimulants versus non-microbial biostimulants. And the microbial biostimulants are those that contain beneficial fungi or bacteria. And in that respect, they're sort of living biostimulants. The non-microbial biostimulants, they obviously don't contain those living elements, and they could be made up of such as seaweed extracts, humic and fulvic acids, amino acids and peptides. And that's the two sort of main groups, the microbial and the non-microbial groups.
I wonder if is this the same kind of thing as the symbiotic relationship between trees growing in a woodland and the networks of underground fungi we're learning are becoming increasingly important. Our knowledge of those has jumped forward in the last 10 years, but prior to that, we hadn't got a great deal of knowledge. Is this the same kind of thing we're talking about here?
Yes, certainly it plays a part, and it's a very complex relationship between the plant and the soil, and that sort of rhizosphere element between the roots and the soil. And that's where those, particularly the microbial biostimulants or the microbial elements, if you like, play their part. And sometimes we know that, you know, fungi, bacteria can be detrimental to the health of a plant or a crop, but we're looking at the beneficial elements here. And that symbiosis between those fungi and bacteria with the plant itself. So yes, I think you're right. There's certainly an element of that, complex though it is.
I remember talking to a crop researcher some years ago who explained that just as stress in pregnant livestock can be identified in their offspring and even the next generation, the same was being found in crop plants. So it is something that can affect plant growth, this stress.
Yes, I agree. I think when you talk to plant breeders, certainly now, they are looking at how to adapt the development and research that they put into plant genetics with relation to how farmers are now growing those crops. Certainly in the past, it was sort of a more conventional approach, if you like, and plant breeders developed those varieties to be grown in that context. As farmers look to improve their soil health, move less of the soil, so I'm talking about minimum tillage or even direct drilling, the plant breeders have to consider that when they're developing their newer varieties, because clearly the environment that those crops are being grown in is different now. And farmers want the varieties that flourish better in those situations.
This will all be music to the ears of a previous generation of soil scientists who were arguing that kind of thing for years, and then were kind of drowned out by the people who just regarded the fact as that chemistry could do all the answers. And now everyone's realizing that everything has a role to play. How's Yara getting involved in biostimulants?
Well, we've been involved for a number of years now, and we've sort of been perhaps a little bit slow, you might say, to bring those to the market. But we've always been very cautious about promoting something that we aren't confident in. And it sort of goes back to what you mentioned at the start, Ken, in that we've been building up our data on these biostimulants within our own portfolio in the UK and Ireland, in those broad acre crops. So in crops like wheat, oilseed rape, and root crops like potatoes, sugar beet, and forage crops like maize. So we've been building that data up now to complement the products that we've been developing for our market. So there's some exciting developments out there, and we're continuing to do that and seeing some positive results in some crops in the UK and Ireland now.
But you are a company that works on evidence rather than anything else. You're very like a sound body of data to work from.
That's right. And we're sort of focusing on getting those products with the CE mark. That's the European mark that gives people confidence that what the product says on the label will be seen in the field. So that's a goal of ours, to have those products all with that mark as time goes by. And we've already got several of them with that mark now.
You hosted some webinars on this topic recently. They're still available, aren't they?
That's right. We did those a few weeks ago. And obviously, it's a big topic to try and do in one webinar. So we did an initial one, which was sort of back to basics, if you like, discussing what biostimulants are, a bit about what, similar to how we covered this morning. But the second one was in more depth, into where Yara are with their range of biostimulants. And yes, they're still available there on the website, Ken. And if anyone's interested in biostimulants, I would encourage people to go and have a look.
Just out of interest, what kind of questions were you being asked just to get some kind of initial feedback? What were the farmers or the agronomists focusing on in this very general introductory series of exchanges?
Well, I think what was interesting when, because we ran a poll at the beginning of both of those webinars on biostimulants, and we posed a few questions just to help us understand where farmers and growers are with biostimulants. And just about everyone that responded has or will be using biostimulants, which was very interesting. But I think the questions that we got asked were more specific to certain crop situations. When's the best time to apply a biostimulant? Is it early on in the growth of the crop? Is it later on? When's the best time to get a quality benefit from using a biostimulant? Things like that. And other ones which farmers are particularly looking at was around nutrient use efficiency. Which one's going to give me the best nutrient use efficiency uplift? And again, what's the best time to apply that?
Would it be true to say that biostimulants aren't necessarily a quick fix? It is a slow burn, or am I wrong?
I think they're certainly, I wouldn't say they're a standalone a solution. They're part of the overall approach to growing a healthy, high yielding crop. But as we've mentioned already, the interactions between crops and the soil that they're growing in is very complex. Although our understanding of that is increasing and improving all the time, there are situations because of that interaction between the plant and the soil that sometimes we might not see a positive result from using a biostimulant. So I think that can sometimes throw a farmer or a grower when they don't see a consistent return from using biostimulants. And that's where we've got to get a little bit better with understanding where we're going to get a more consistent result from using them, I believe.
But you believe we will see more biostimulant use as time goes on?
Oh, I think so, Ken, definitely. I see when you look at the investment that's being made globally in that range of biostimulants that are out there, and the bigger R&D companies involved in agriculture are investing heavily into that area. And with the decline in, if you like, conventional chemistry, it's getting harder and harder to approve those conventional materials. Farmers and agronomists are going to be looking for alternative ways of, as I say, improving the likelihood of achieving the genetic potential of these crops without conventional chemistry, and more looking towards biological and biostimulant products.
Thank you very much for that, Chris. Chris Harold is product manager for Yara Vita, and we're planning a second podcast on biostimulants later in the year. Watch this space. In the meantime, I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with more information for grassland farmers planning their second cut silage. From me, Ken Rundle, bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.